Those of you on the computer should see a PowerPoint presentation. And unfortunately, those that have called in, you will not see this, but the fact that you don't have it will not interfere with the expectation, I don't believe. Those of you who are viewing it on the screen, if you want to see a full screen of the slides, just simply hit view and full screen, and you'll be able to do that. Our topic is Daniel in the midst of lions, and it comes from Daniel, the sixth chapter, of course. And I'd like to read the sixth chapter of Daniel. It's a little bit longer reading, but I think very important to get the full context of our topic this morning. It pleased Darius, this is Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, offereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed this writing and the decree. And now when Daniel saw that the writing was signed, he went into the house, with windows being open to his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee. And also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel was promoted to a position of significant authority under Darius, third in the kingdom. His high regard by Darius, and no doubt the exceptional performance that would be true of Daniel, caused an intense jealousy on the part of Daniel's fellow officers. These unscrupulous individuals were constantly looking, lying in wait like a lurking lion, for him to demonstrate flaws of character or poor performance in the king's service, but they could not find any justification for attack. These wicked men soon concluded that the only course for them to disgrace Daniel would necessarily involve his religious beliefs and conviction. The conspirators, through their manipulation of Darius and appealing to his pride, promoted the idea that the king should issue a decree that no one, for a period of 30 days, could ask anything of God or man apart from the king himself. Darius readily took the bait and issued the decree, having no idea how his action would impact the man Daniel. Daniel would be obedient to the king's will as long as it didn't conflict with the will of God. Such should be the case with us as well. Daniel wouldn't compromise his responsibilities to Yahweh, regardless of the consequences. So he continued in regular prayer to and worship of his Heavenly Father. And these evil leaders were alert to Daniel's continued actions towards God. They observed him in prayer, quickly reporting his violation of the king's decree back to the king. Darius realizes that he has been duped by the other officials, and he diligently strives to free Daniel. But his own laws, the laws of the Medes and the Persians, constrain him. The king declares to Daniel that only Daniel's God can save him. The king has no choice but to take the action decreed. And with a heavy heart, he ordered that Daniel be cast into the den of lions, the pit of death. Daniel was one of three presidents, and these are represented as the three ribs in the mouth of the bear in Daniel 7:5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Cyrus, head of the Medo-Persian Empire, contended with three major powers who were competing for dominion in Lydia, in Western Asia, Babylon, and Egypt. Cyrus conquered these and consolidated his power and control by delegating his authority to three presidents over these three divisions. Daniel was chief of these three presidents. We read in Daniel 6:2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. You'll see in this slide, those of you who can see it, the four beasts or the four nations in the prophecy of Daniel 7. You know, of course, that the bear is indicative of the Medo-Persian Empire. I'd like to share a piece from the exposition of Daniel. This is on page 12. The reign of the bear began under a Mede, and in 2 years passed by inheritance to Cyrus, a Persian. This change of position was represented to Daniel in the saying that it raised itself on one side, so that one side became higher than the other. But before it raised itself up, the higher side was no higher than the other. Therefore, the higher side acquired its position last, as appears in the history of the time. The ram in the 8th chapter, with horns of unequal height, is another symbol for the same government. The unequal elevation of the sides of the bear and the different altitude of the ram's horns are conditions representative of the same dynastic peculiarity. A higher horn came up last. The bear had also another peculiarity worthy of note. It had three ribs in the mouth of it between its teeth. These ribs represented the threefold division of its conquests. The interpretation is found elsewhere in these words of Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes who should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was chief, that the princes might give account to them, and the king, the bare mouth, if you will, should have no damage. The three presidencies, then, of the silver dominion were the ribs in the mouth of the bear. The other two presidents and the princes took exception to Daniel's status and were highly jealous. These three leaders, including Daniel, managed money such as taxes for the king. Access to these funds, these accounts, would have provided the occasion for graft, but, as we know, not with Daniel. A man of strong integrity, a righteous servant of Yahweh, in the lead role. The other presidents and the princes knew that Daniel would not tolerate dishonesty, so they needed Daniel out of the way for any of their unsavory schemes to be successful. The man of God must, like Daniel, ever be compliant with God's requirements. Daniel could certainly echo the words of Psalm 25. And let's turn there, please, to Psalm 25 and verses 19 through 21. Psalm 25, 19 through 21. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Let's turn also, while we're here in Psalms, to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, and let's pick up at verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, in the place where thine honor dwelleth, Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. And let's also look at Psalm 37 and pick up at verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. As earlier mentioned, Daniel was highly regarded by the king. No doubt because Daniel, as a believer, would be diligent in performing his duties, respectful of Darius, and above all, he would have demonstrated a godly character. Daniel had a good report of them that are without. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs 15, and let's pick up at verse 28. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Let's go also to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. 1 Timothy 3. Let's read verses 5 through 7. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the ecclesia of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So we can see how important it is to have that good report of those without. We're told that there was an excellent spirit in Daniel. The New American Standard Bible reads an extraordinary spirit, which denotes the commendable character of Daniel, who was a devout man of God. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, and let's pick up at verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue or doeth evil to his neighbor or taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Let's also go to Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. Isaiah 33 And let's read verses 15 and 16. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. And this is certainly characteristic of the man Daniel. Daniel's iniquitous colleagues tried to find a way to discredit him in his role of serving the king. They soon realized that this Daniel is above reproach, and that the only potential to bring condemnation upon Daniel must be based on the law of his God. Let's consider some scriptures that apply to Daniel and certainly should be characteristic of us as well. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter 2, and let's pick up at verse 13. Submit yourselves in every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's also go to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. And let's read verses 13 through 16. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Then Titus, second chapter, we have several scriptures we want to look at here. Again, that were very true of Daniel, but certainly should be true of us as well. This is Titus, second chapter, verses 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Also, let's go back to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. 1 Peter 3, and let's read verses 14 through 17. It said, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And certainly Daniel was guilty of no evil only well-doing. While we're here in 1 Peter, one last reading, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 16. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We know by their actions against Daniel that the other presidents and princes were dishonest, underhanded, and deceitful, and would no doubt have sought occasions to leverage their key positions for their personal benefit. These Gentile lords are not unlike the wicked watchmen of Israel described in Isaiah 56:11. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Daniel, like so many others in the scriptures, is typical of Christ, and we see familiar treatment of our Lord to that of Daniel. Let's turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, and we want to pick up at verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? It which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy.' 'What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.'" And the same is was being done with Daniel at this time. Note also the warning of Proverbs 19, verses 5 and 9. "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. And we certainly see this ultimately happening with Daniel's accusers. The presidents and the princes approached the king, and in their scheme to destroy Daniel, they appealed, as we said earlier, to the king's pride. Pride is so destructive, and there's much exhortation here for us. And let's review some scriptures that address this concept of pride. If you'll go to Psalm 10 with me, please. Psalm 10. Picking up at verse 2. We want to read quite a few verses here, very relevant. "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, and let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. And for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He saith, or he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait, secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Let's go to Psalm 36. We want to read a couple of verses there concerning pride. Psalm 36, verses 11 and 12. Let not the foot of pride come against thee, and come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Let's go to Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs 11. And let's begin at verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver him, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. While we're here in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. And then one last reading, Proverbs 16, beginning at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. With feigned sincerity, Daniel's sinful fellow rulers convinced Darius to act immediately to issue a decree, a royal statute that they had developed. It was that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. This is verse 7 of chapter 6 of Daniel. This didn't seem to be unusual for a Medo-Persian king, who were thought to be divine themselves. The irrevocable decree was signed by Darius, and the stage was set for Daniel's demise. Daniel's loyalty and devotion to God, evidenced by his regular worship and frequent prayer, would not be altered regardless of the king's decree. His attackers lie in wait to catch Daniel during his devotions. In doing so, they accuse him before Darius of violating the law. Daniel certainly wasn't defying the king, but rather because of his love for and obedience to God, he would not change his activity. Note these passages in Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants, ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Also 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Deuteronomy 4, verses 30 and 31. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So they catch Daniel in the act of prayer, which wasn't difficult as there was an open window to Daniel's abode. And Daniel approached Yahweh in prayer at least three times each day. Daniel's attitude towards prayer clearly illustrates his dependence upon God, and particularly his love and respect for his heavenly Father. Prayer must likewise be our frequent desire and practice. We find in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Also Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. James 5:16-17. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Darius had been trapped by his unscrupulous leaders, and it isn't evident to him initially, as they asked him questions. Daniel 6:12. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. The king confirmed this to be true according to the law of the Medes and Persians. They then let the king know that Daniel had broken this law, emphasizing the fact that he was an Israelite. And notice how they say he is of the children of the captivity of Israel, trying to denigrate Daniel. They claimed that Daniel had no consideration for the king or his law. Darius, of course, knew that this was not the case. The king did everything in his power to thwart the wicked purpose, but to no avail. The decree stands, and the king must deliver the sentence. The evil accusers come before Darius again, reminding him and pressing him to follow through. We note in 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Also 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. In Psalm 25, verses 2 and 15, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. These wicked men were not only attacking Daniel, but it was an attack on the truth itself. We read in Daniel 6:16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The king has a terrible, sleepless night, knowing he was a victim of his own pride. He was certain that Daniel would die. King Darius, like Pilate with Christ, was quite concerned at his role in Daniel's situation. A stone was laid on the mouth of the den or pit, which is a grave, if you will, for Daniel. This typifies Christ, who as a result of his righteousness could not be held by the grave. Christ, through his victory over the grave, would be the means of release from bondage for the faithful like Daniel. For we read in Revelation 1:18 in relation to Christ, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Daniel's experience also symbolized the condition of Israel, which figuratively speaking was cut off in the dungeon. Turn with me, please, to Lamentations 3. And we want to read a few verses there, starting with verse 52. Lamentations 3, 52 through 58. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. The national grave of Israel will be opened by the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Israel, who was released through the intervention of angels at the direction of Yahweh. Ezekiel was privileged to see the political resurrection of the nation in prophecy. We're very familiar with the prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. If you'll turn there with me, we're not going to read all 14 verses of that prophecy, but I do want to read a few verses there. Ezekiel 37. Let's read verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Then let's go to verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. We read on to learn that breath was infused into them And then note verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Rising at the dawn of the new day, Darius quickly makes his way to the den. A similar action was taken by those who hurried to the tomb of Christ. We note in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Darius calls to Daniel in what is described as a lamentable or anguished voice. He was feeling great affliction, hoping for a miracle. And to his great surprise, Daniel quietly answers. The king acknowledges Daniel's God, referring to him as the living God. It's interesting to note that the Chaldee for God is E-L-A-H-H. The Hebrew is Eloah, E-L-O-A-H, or Mighty One. Darius is admitting to the power and reality of the God of Daniel. There are many references in the word to the living God, unlike the dumb, lifeless, powerless idols of the Medes and Persians. Note, for example, Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Hebrews 11:6 readily comes to mind. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All he has promised, he will perform. At the end of verse 20 of Daniel 6, Darius almost exclaims in question form, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel answers the king. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel's innocence, his purity of character, in the sight of God, as well as his honoring the king Darius, has preserved him. Let's now read Daniel 6, 23 through 28, which bring Daniel's latest experience to Yahweh's service to a wonderful close. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came, at the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And in that phrase, we can definitely see that Daniel told the king of the kingdom of God to be ultimately established in the earth. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? And as we read in verse 28, the last verse of Daniel 6, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I'd like to close with a quote concerning Daniel from Seasons of Comfort. This is volume 2 by Brother Roberts. It's on pages 250 and 251. Babylon, with its busy, thriving population, was nothing in the divine estimation, while Daniel was greatly beloved. Here is a study for us which we may find to yield lessons of comfort in our own situation. when human glory spreads and vaunts itself so much, and nothing is so contemned as the hope which God has given us concerning Israel. Why was this old man beloved while the stirring, important inhabitants of Babylon were of no account? This also we may know quite plainly, for we are told from the first day that thou, Daniel, didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, Daniel 10:12. If we have been in Babylon, we should have found Daniel as much an exception in this as those of a similar disposition in the European or American towns today. We should have found all the people engrossed as they are today with the matters of the passing moment. We should have found that nothing seems so worthless in their eyes as any attempt to set ourselves to understand or to chasten our hearts before God. We can see that lesson plainly enough. Where is the glory of Babylon and her people today? Hell, or the grave, hath opened her mouth, and their glory and their honor have descended into it. They sleep a perpetual sleep, not to wake. They are as much past, perished, and forgotten as the great creatures that once crashed through the primeval forest, whose bones are occasionally found at a great depth. But Daniel is written on high. To God he lives, though dead. The moment is near for him to awake from that sleep in the dust of the earth, in which he has been sweetly at rest for centuries, and from which he will emerge to take actual part in earth's public affairs. As believers, we, like Daniel, may encounter devouring lions, ungodly men, and may our experience be like that as well of our brother Paul, as expressed in 2 Timothy 4, verses 17 and 18, which we read earlier. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.